Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up California, your source for all things in the Golden State. Well, I can't really say all things in the Golden State, considering it's a once-a-week show, which I eventually hope to do more than once a week, at least three times a week. But we do try to bring you the most important stories. Once again, hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this episode, we are going to be talking about California's job market freeze, a microcosm of national economic stagnation. Then we're going to talk about Barbara Lee's Oakland takeover, scrutinizing her first 100-day plan. Then we're going to talk about the Los Angeles billion-dollar blunder. Mayor Bass's layoffs expose decades of Democrat mismanagement. And if there's time, I may go into the Cali Blitz. Now, I was going to talk about Steve Hilton, but my partner in crime, the G-Man, Mr. G. Mangani, he's redoing his, I want to say work office. Looks like he's turning it into a podcast studio. So that's good news for us. He always had that where he's kind of like the angle. So good luck to him doing that. But I think he thought he was going to be done today in one day. Because when I texted him, "You ready for a podcast?" "I'm not going to be done till Tuesday." But anyway, let me get some fiduciary duties out the way. Do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can also catch us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, let's get right on into it. California's job market freeze, a microcosm of a national economic stagnation. So this one here is dealing with the U.S. job market. It's grinding to a halt. There's white-collar workers are clinging to their roles, their jobs, and businesses are hesitating to hire because they see an economic uncertainty. And you may think, oh, the tariffs, the big bad tariffs. There is always uncertainty with that, but hey, we're only 3 points down or 6 points down compared to the doom and gloom, and all these countries are coming to negotiate. So that's a short-term issue we're going to find out, as we did in 2018. However, once California was an economic powerhouse, and it's faring even worse than the national numbers. Its hiring rate has plummeted to a 14-year low. That puts us in Obama era. So it's driven by regulatory burdens. So it's not a tariff, it's regulations here. Fiscal mismanagement, Democrats, and automation. That's just the humanity evolving. The dual stagnation paints a grim picture for not only workers, but employers as well. So the U.S. labor market is frozen. Both workers and employers are paralyzed by economic headwinds and policy issues. Some policy failures that have extended from the Obama regime. There's a job market slowdown. The job market has dropped 7.6 million in February 2025, the lowest since September of 2024. And that is per the BLS Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. Now, the Democrats are going to blame Trump, but this goes to before Trump. This goes to, again, regulations are really destroying the state. Hiring for high salary roles and high salaries considered $96,000 or more is at its lowest since 2014. And that's according to the 2024 Vanguard report. And there's a white-collar recession. And white-collar people. 81% of U.S. workers expressed concern about job loss in January. That was a survey of about 1,100 employees. And that's forcing them that they're not looking. So they're staying in their jobs whether they like it or not. Wage premiums for job switchers have nearly vanished. I mean, hey, come work for me. I'll give you a raise. It's like, hey, do you have a job? Well, not at your salary. You know, so employers are prioritizing cost cutting over competitive salaries. Look, we are overpaid in many ways, and we're underpaid in some ways. But regardless, competition for white-collar jobs has doubled, with job postings attracting two times as many applicants. In 2023. And that's per Robert Half data. So why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because California is struggling. And we're still spending $50 million on an anti-Trump fund. $24 billion in the last 5 years, 10 years since Newsom took office on the homeless. Regulations that are strangling and forcing companies to leave the state. And now no one's hiring? There are businesses right now grappling with terror, supply chain disruptions, and inflation. And they're delaying hiring. In the defense of those who are against the terrorists are creating some issues right now in the supply chain. Vietnam may be negotiating, but those terrorists have gone up, and there's no deal in place. So we're going to suffer through a couple of months, but then it should pick up once deals start to fall in place. Once that first domino falls, the rest will fall because they want to be the first ones to get the good deal because not everybody's going to get a good deal. So businesses, again, grappling with supply chain disruptions and some of the tariff issues, they're delaying hiring. And that comes from Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon. Let me tell you about those two people real quick. They are raking it in during the old way business was done, where our government, both parties, rewarded Wall Street versus Main Street, Fink and Dimon. So I don't take what they say with a grain of salt, but I keep that in mind. They make things worse than they are because they're the ones taking the hit right now. So major firms in tech like Meta, Finance, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Communications, they've slashed their headcounts and slow recruitment. Hiring process is now about 11 weeks with employers raising standards to minimize risk. That's not surprising. That's how it should be. AI is displacing some white-collar jobs. Now, that's World Economic Forum. They're predicting 85 million jobs by 2025. I find that hard to believe. I really do. I really do. It's like, you know, I think they're putting more into AI before it's ready to be used. It's like the military. In a Tom Clancy novel, every weapon works perfectly 100% of the time. When you're actually underway on a battle or on a ship of any kind, your weapons are down, are only up about 70%, whether it's regular checking them out or assault forces to shut down or keeps some of them from working. There's some weapon systems out there, they don't want to turn them on. They have them all covered up until they need to because assault deteriorates them quickly. But regardless, my whole point is I think AI is coming. It's here. It's going to do what they say it's going to do, but I don't think it's going to do it as quickly as they say. Anyway, companies increasingly view AI as a cost-effective alternative, requiring no salaries or benefits, unlike human workers. That will happen in certain industries, but you're always going to need people to work those industries. You know, there's never, ever going to be a picker that does it as efficiently as a human. Say apples, trees, things like strawberries, stuff like that. So the U.S. faces a $36 trillion national debt, high inflation. Well, no, I'm not going to say high inflation, but inflation, geopolitical tensions, and stifling business expansion. This is the doom and gloom per Bill Ackman, another elitist who has suffered since the tariffs were put in, where when you hear trillion loss, it's him on paper. So costs because of federal policies, regulations, eroding confidence, all that's going up. Now, on California, our market's in even worse shape because we are burdened by state-specific challenges. And that, on top of the national woes, makes it even worse. There's a hiring rate collapse. California's hiring rate fell to 2.7% last year, the lowest since 2010. Companies are leaving. And minimum wage, those jobs are drying up. That's pushing AI or automation into place. You know, now you put your order in, and I've seen that at airports, and then somebody fixes it in the back, and it's taken by your card. The state just added 142,000 jobs in 2024, a sharp drop from the 202,000 average monthly gains in prior years. And how many of those were government jobs? The tech sector, once a cornerstone here in California, 140,000 layoffs last year. That's according to layoffs.fyi. Bay Area tech giants like Meta, Google, Amazon out, or rather cut 18,000 jobs, 7% of their workforce in 2023. They still employ 37,000 more than 2019, but the peak is not peaking up. It's going the other way now. Construction and healthcare, that did show some light. They added 34,000, 31,000 jobs. Construction is going to add a lot more jobs because as illegals get whacked to back to their countries, sent back to their countries, more jobs will open up. Now, to counter the cost of homes rising and buildings rising, they got to bring regulations out, CEQA down, but they won't. They're going to blame it all on Trump instead of the overburdened businesses. Look, people, we are have a symbiotic relationship with the corporation business, whether it's family or corporate. We need them. They need us. The person who's screwing it up is California government. Luckily, the construction healthcare, that's blue collar. But those are always temporary jobs in construction. Then we have the fiscal and regulatory burdens, which I talk about a lot. The state faces a $73 billion budget deficit. Obviously, that's going to limit public sector hiring. Then you have high taxes and regulatory costs. That deters business growth. Venture capital funding dropped to $30 billion in 2023. That matched 2016 levels. We are trending in the wrong direction, people. I gotta be honest. So, what's California versus the nation? We both face white collar recession of high earners. It's scarce right now, and the hiring is at its lowest. Workers again aren't leaving their jobs. Employers are cautious. They're extending the hiring timelines, taking longer to hire people, reviewing them more closely. Automation is displacing jobs, especially in the fast food. You keep raising the minimum wage. When an owner goes, hey, boss, what about automation? And I'm going to say, hey, that's a lot of work. Next week, boss, they just raised the minimum wage $25. Bring me that catalog of the automation. Of course, it's not like that, but I'm just simplifying it for the example. So what are our unique struggles? The 2.7% hiring rate is worse than the national trends. Again, the $73 billion deficit and regulatory overreach is what's making that happen. Tech layoffs hit California harder, with 140,000 jobs lost in 2024 compared to around the country. High taxes and declining venture capital. Again, venture capital down $30 billion. There's no California entrepreneurialism as it used to be. And there's just other areas in the country that's more easily, more affordably done. I got to tell you, national job opening 7.6 million. It's low, but it's more robust than California's anemic job growth, 142,000 in 2024. Look, the U.S. and California, we are trapped in a job market freeze at the moment. Nationally, that will improve. But the Golden State's excessive regulations are crushing taxes, and our ballooning deficit here in the state make it much worse. We need bold policy reforms. We need those that restore the economic vitality and unleash the potential of entrepreneurialism and businesses to bring in more workers. Barbara Lee's Oakland takeover, scrutinizing her first 100 days plan. So Oakland, look, people, Oakland's battered by economic collapse, rampant crime, and political scandals. And guess what? They elected Barbara Lee as a mayor in a special election. And that was following the recall of Sheng Thao. Here's my thoughts on Barbara Lee. Oakland, the feds got rid of a corrupt mayor, and what do? You elect Barbara Lee. You know, she believes in the $50 minimum wage. Enjoy your $9 Mickey D burgers, people. She also bragged about her business smarts. But here's the ugly truth. After years working for a congressman, her business got nearly 300 federal contracts. Those contracts were worth $64 million taxpayer dollars. Even worse, many of those contracts were no bid. Things that make you go, Y'all went from one corrupt politician to another. She's the epitome of cronyism. Don't expect your rank as one of California's most dangerous cities to end anytime soon. Y'all wonder why the Raiders left. Even they're scared of being mugged. That in a nutshell is my thoughts of Barbara Lee. She's 78 years old, a former congresswoman, decades-long progressiveness. She wants to spend, spend, spend. Oakland doesn't need that right now. She unveiled her first 100-day agenda. She's promising to address public safety, homelessness, and the $280 million budget deficit. Her plan is heavy on task forces and light on specifics. Heavy on task forces means more meetings, more people hired, more bureaucracy hired. Problem doesn't get solved. She's facing skepticism in a city that's desperate for immediate relief by decisive action. So she won with 50.1% of the vote against Lauren Taylor, who was seen as more moderate. Ranked choice election, those are always fishy. Low turnout, only 38% of registered voters. Obviously, a divided electorate, but the fact she only won by 50.1%. But Lauren Taylor only got 45%, so 5% margin. So he lost a lot of votes that went to others. So Lee becomes the first black woman mayor in Oakland. Who cares anymore? I don't say that to denigrate. It's like, I don't care. I care about her track record and what she's going to do. But let's get back to Sheng Thao. Sheng Thao was hot indicted, the previous mayor, for federal bribery charges in January. That epitomizes Oakland. Sheng Thao faces up to 95 years in prison on 6 federal charges, including conspiracy, bribery, mail fraud, and wire fraud. Thing with Barbara Lee, she knows how to hide that. She's been doing it her whole career. You heard my short there. Yeah, so Lee got the union support, business leaders, and former mayors. A razor-thin win. And now she's laying out what she's going to do. But let me set this up first. She's got to deal with a business exodus. Retailers like Old Navy, Target, and Foot Locker, they've all fled downtown Oakland. Too many restaurants and small shops to name have fled. Bechtel Corporation moved its headquarters to Virginia. Blue Shield of California shifted 1,200 jobs to Texas, 1,200 lost jobs. Kaiser Permanente plans to vacate its headquarters by 2027 after layoffs. It's a population decline. Oakland lost 10,000 residents from 2020 to 2023. That means less tax base. The homelessness crisis. I bet you some of those 10,000 are now part of the homeless. It doubled since 2015 to about 5,500. It's overwhelmed city services. It's clogging public spaces. See, we don't do enough to deal with the homeless problem. We look at kumbaya, we can't be cruel, we can't be this. Yeah, as the city suffers, people who need help suffer, veterans suffer, low-income people suffer, people who can't afford all the high regs, high rent costs, high housing costs, all that. So what happens? They become homeless and become part of it. That's the only way they're able to collect. And I'm being facetious here a bit, but the point is the people they should be helping, they're not. Instead of looking and providing solutions for the homeless, which some of them are ugly but viable and compassionate still, because I got news for you. The homeless are not the equal of those who can hold a job, have a family, pay a bill. And I don't say that in a derogatory sense. I say that is they're not capable of doing that right now. Homicides, they rose 20% in 2023, and the 69% of voters in 2024 surveyed demand more police. So much for defund the police. Y'all are the ones who wanted it to defund it. Now you're paying the price. $280 million deficit over the past 2 years. That's after $130 million in prior cuts. Basic services and infrastructure are done in Oakland. They will sit there and give money to an illegal on a monthly basis. They're going to take tax money for reparations fund while y'all sit there and suffer. Oakland's plummeting economy, unchecked crime, and ballooning deficit. That's a city on the brink. In her defense, she's inheriting a mess that she does not have the capacity to figure out how to solve. Her past progressive beliefs and policies, that's what has failed to deliver in terms of stability for Oakland by her predecessors. She served in Congress from 1998 to 2025. She pushes universal health care, racial justice, and anti-war. I'm with her on the anti-war. The other two, she wants the government to foot the bill. You see governments in a deficit. Where are they going to get the money? Her consistent opposition to balanced budgets, and she supports expansive federal spending. makes you ask, well, how's she going to be able to handle the Oakland's $230 million deficit? Answer, today, she can't. My money is on she can't. She wasn't even considered for the 2024 U.S. Senate primary. She got whacked. She was just a congresswoman. Once she got elected, she did what her masters told her to do, and they funded her reelection for many years. She's not incredibly intelligent to be able to finagle to do this, and she doesn't even have the capacity to hire smart people around her. She's cronyistic. She hires people she knows, likes family. So, leave out transparency, integrity, and accountability. Man, that's like Democrats are allergic to that, people. Come on. She's going to be a hands-on mayor. She's going to unify a divided city and deliver results that you expect and deserve. She announced a transition team, translation, more meetings, more meetings, more meetings, more meetings, more meetings, more meetings, more meetings. Oh, we got to pay them. Take it out of the general fund. Oh, there's no money in the general fund. Well, we'll take it out of this program. That program's for the needy. I don't care anymore. They're for my transition team. No members were named, and they won't publicly name them until the last minute possible, even if they have to. Again, she's a progressive who spends big. They need fiscal restraint right now. So her unity rhetoric, can she turn that into measurable outcomes? I don't think so. So let's go to the plan overview. It's a 10-point agenda. Targets public safety, homelessness, economic growth, and governance reform. It lacks measurable goals, though, or timelines. And that raises concerns about its effectiveness. In her defense, it takes time to create this, so I'm willing to be patient and wait for this to come. The problem is they talk these X-point plans, and they never deliver on them. Or when they do get it out, you're like, what the hell? But by then, half the term's over. She promises to convene police department leadership and business quarter representatives to improve safety. I hope she does. That's a massive step if she does. But she offers no targets for crime reduction or police staffing increases, despite a 20% homicide spike. But the other thing, too, is if a cop touches a guy, especially if it's a minority, it's racism and the city ends up paying out. Because it's usually not racism, but it's easier to pay out than go through the legal system. She seeks Oakland's fair share of Alameda County resources for housing and services to address the 5,400 unhoused. She got her fair share. That's a non-starter there. In fact, the money's drying up. The federal grants are going to dry up. Why? Because of waste, fraud, and abuse. And they're doing investigations in L.A. At what point do they move those over to Oakland? She offers no details on funding or execution. All that's absent. There's blight and dumping. She's committing to staffing a blight reduction crew and partnering with the district attorney's office to prosecute illegal dumping. How about prosecuting illegal aliens? And she wants to clean up neighborhoods plagued by decay. You know, that's a lot of volunteerism. That's a lot of enthusiasm, getting the stars out there, working it, bringing the people out of the communities. That's how that happens. It's not as much money as much as it's encouraging the people, getting them excited, getting them out there with incentives to start. Making them take pride. It's a whole process. I know this. I worked in a volunteer nonprofits. She plans to engage CEOs of Oakland's 10 largest employers for public-private partnerships to boost growth. That may or may not work. We don't know yet exactly how she's going to do that, what companies specifically are there to do that. Again, no specifics or incentives or job creation specifics. She wants to streamline the city processes to ease the burdens on small businesses. That's a big win if she can implement that. Of course, Karen Bass said that in L.A. they were going to do that in terms of streamlining, making it more efficient and quicker to get a permit to rebuild. 12 permits in 100 days. She's going to charter a task force of ethics experts and governance advocates to modernize Oakland's Charter for Accountability. That's just more people hired. It doesn't take a task force to figure out what's wrong. They already know what's wrong. Studies have been done. They got to get somebody to consolidate those studies, then go to the local leaders, not create a task force. They have the departments in place to do this already. It's my issue. Get qualified people in those departments. Because all she can do is create more bureaucratic bloat, which is what government does. over efficiency in a city that's already wary of red tape. No mention of cuts, revenue plans, or strategies in the budget or for a budget to address the $280 million deficit. Glaring omission. And they've already done $130 million in cuts, I said. So this is all task force heavy. Her reliance on committees and external resources, all this suggests nothing but delays in delivering tangible results. And then she's going to sit there, I'm waiting on the study, waiting on the study, waiting on the study. Woman, where's that damn study? Waiting on the study. This is going to frustrate residents. They're going to demand immediate action on crime, homelessness, and finances. People, stop voting Democrat. That's the answer. Lee's plan is extremely thin on specifics, heavy on collaboration. All it's going to do is stall Oakland's recovery. With no clear metrics or any type of bold fiscal move, they're going to fail. I mean, at what point do you sit there and realize you've got to redo the way you do business as a city? There's voter skepticism. It was a close election, 38% turnout. They're like, why bother? Look for Lee to alienate people. She's 78. She's doing it a certain way. Attack, 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 spend, spend, spend. That doesn't work as a mayor. Look, Oakland's in a crisis, fiscal, criminal, and economic. All that requires ruthless prioritization, not committee gridlock, which is what she's bringing. Her progressive instincts and vague promises are going against a city that's demanding swift, tangible change. So Barbara Lee steps into Oakland's mayoral office with a city literally teetering on collapse. Its businesses are fleeing, crime is soaring, and the coffers are nearly empty. Lots of fanfare with her first 100-day plan. Again, task force and partnerships, while sidestepping the hard commitments on crime, deficits, and business retention. For a city fed up with political insiders and failed policy, Lee's progressive pedigree and lack of concrete metric makes you wonder, why'd you vote for her? On top of the fact they have serious doubts about her ability to deliver. By those are people who actually receive the data, understand the data, and read the data. Oakland's future hinges on whether she can pivot from rhetoric to results. I don't think she can, and that risks deepening the city's decline. Los Angeles' billion-dollar blunder. Mayor Bass layoffs expose decades of Democrat mismanagement. So, Los Angeles is grappling with nearly $1 billion budget. You thought Oakland was bad. L.A. nearly a $1 billion budget deficit. It's forcing Karen Bass to make drastic measures, to take drastic measures. Her plan announced last week includes laying off 1,650 city workers, slashing services. So she's going after the low-hanging fruit that people are going to complain about, but can't do anything about. Now, the city workers, I'll give a difference. Probably a lot of city workers that are employed that shouldn't be. How many? We started in the fires. So we're going to start digging into some of all these so-called chiefs in certain areas earning six figures. You hear the fire roaring. Those who you need to lay off. City's financial woes are worsened by declining revenues. People are fleeing California, including L.A. Unexpected costs. That means residents are bearing the consequences of their voted-in politicians that have created longstanding policy failures. So let's look at the budget. So this is the layoffs and budget cuts. That's a direct response to a projected $1 billion shortfall. Now, Major Bass's budget is $13.9 billion. For fiscal year 2025-2026. You got the layoffs. That's going to affect roughly 1,100 full-time and 500 part-time people. The department's targeted recreation parks. Hey, it's always the parks first. That I know for a fact. 336 positions cut. Public works, that's street services, sanitation, engineering. Look for New York City mounds of trash. 287 jobs there. Zoo department, yeah, these are the type they say that they're not needed. You know, in a city that's tingling on it's going to ignite, which is the first major issue. These things keep people sane. They see not having to deal with trash buildup, zoos to take their kids, recreational parks release, This helps the human psyche, and that's what's being cut. 76 positions cut there. City clerk's office. It's slow enough as it is. 12 permits, 100 days. You need that city clerk's office running with position. 66 positions targeted. Transportation department, 64. Library department. We don't need library. They can tell you we got the internet, or we're going to tell you what to think. 63 positions. Planning department, 44 positions. Aging department, 20 positions targeted. Reducing senior services. Baby boomers are weird. The baby boomers, they're all over the place. They're growing like fungus, like black mold in an abandoned house. I cannot believe that, man. Firefighters and sworn police officers are exempt. Over 1,000 vacant positions will be eliminated. She's doing what Trump's doing, but my fear is she's not doing it to jobs that aren't necessary. And she's going to hire cronies. No, she already has that in place. Man, this is a mess. I can't argue her with how she's starting the cuts. It's what she's not cutting. There's also going to be department consolidations. We're going to talk about what she's not cutting here in a couple of minutes. In her defense, she's attempting to renegotiate union negotiated salary increases. She wants to curb personnel costs, which is a significant driver of the budget being strained. Now, the union, she says that's the last resort. It's because she's in the pocket of them. So all this stems from decades of Democrat leadership, where they often prioritize political agendas over fiscal responsibility. And that has left Los Angeles vulnerable to economic shocks. Now, what are some of the places that money's going to that shouldn't be? Well, allocation of substantial funds to programs benefiting illegal aliens. That has drained resources from critical services, and that's exacerbated the $1 billion budget. L.A. County spent $1.3 billion on welfare for illegal immigrant families. Welfare. $1.3 billion. Now, that's the county, not the city. Over 58,000 families receiving $602 million in 2015, and 64,000 families receiving $675 million in 2016. You know why? Because we're a sanctuary state, and L.A. did not become a sanctuary city until last year, but they were being treated as a sanctuary city. I don't know. Let's see. Now, so a lot of these, okay, to defend the city here. Some of this went to U.S.-born children, but their parents are the illegals. That's how they get around it. No, it's U.S. citizens. Yet that one little kid is the gateway towards all the illegals in the household. See how that works? Anchor babies should be art against the law. It's just never been adjudicated. It's not that we don't have compassion. It's, as you see, the city here is broke. The people are suffering. So this type of spending is more than likely going to continue, diverting funds from infrastructure and public safety, as I just talked about. There's the expensive homelessness initiatives. That's a scam that could be going to help the people. So a lot of those homelessness are intertwined with services for non-citizens, illegals. 1.3 million committed by BAS produced only a 5% reduction in unsheltered numbers. It was a failure. 1.3 billion failed. That was from 2023 to 2024. It's all done for temporary shelters rather than permanent solutions. You know, I got to be honest. We're going to have to do something drastic about the homeless show. If a lot of homeless were treated more like a military school, You get a lot of them become productive. They get clean. They learn how to function. You get the sanitariums to take care of their meds, have a transition program into these types of schools, working class universities, homeless universities, where they learn trades. You work with other states where there's areas of need, and you ship them off with support. I mean, this isn't an overnight process, but what I just gave you is actually a legit solution. So $165 million Los Angeles building, the Weingart Tower, provides 278 housing units for the homeless at $600,000 per unit. That's where the grift comes in. All these nonprofits, that's where they're just stealing that money. funded by taxpayers through Proposition HHH and state credits. Damn. So even though it's not exclusive for illegal aliens, the project will house non-citizens as well. Then you got the high cost of union negotiated raises and benefits. They've ballooned. And they don't want to renegotiate. You know, there comes a point where you just declare bankruptcy. They try that with the courts, activist courts ruling you got to pay them. I don't think that would go so well today. Do it. All this illegal alien costs strain the budget, leading to cuts that hurt you, the family that pays their taxes. Then you have the declining tax revenues, and that's from businesses and residents leaving the city. High taxes, overregulation, and deteriorating quality of life. Then you put the January 2025 wildfires on top of that. These longstanding progressive policies have favored expansive social programs over economic growth. And that has eroded the city's financial foundation, as you're now experiencing in L.A. So Mayor Bass, she's like a bum with a handout. She wants us to foot the bill. She's going to be heading back up to Sacramento to secure more funds. She went in March asking for $2 billion. She's going this time, I believe, to ask for $1 billion more. I don't know if she got the $2 billion. They rely on state bailouts. They don't have that accountability. I think we're at a point where these representatives are going to go, hey, L.A., I don't represent you, and my constituents say it enough. So all of these cuts and layoffs are going to affect the residents. Reduce access to parks, libraries, senior services, and infrastructure maintenance. At screen fire again. Continue spending on non-residents, specifically illegal aliens. That drains resources that could be used to rebuild the city's financial stability. This budget lacks a strategy for boosting revenue through economic growth or attracting businesses back to LA. And without reform, or rather without reforming spending priorities, such as reducing benefits for illegals or addressing these over-the-top union-driven costs, the city's going to continue to face recurring deficits and diminished services. Los Angeles' $1 billion deficit, that's a self-inflicted wound, people. It's a result of Democrat leaders prioritizing outsiders and unsustainable programs over taxpayers, social service programs for illegals over taxpayers. So until the city focuses on serving its own residents, it's going to remain trapped in a cycle of debt and decline. And who's going to pay the price? Hardworking Los Angelinos. Sad but true. Sad but true. All right, my friends, let us move on to the Cali Blitz. I like that. I got to move down from my governor notes. I think what we're going to do, people, is have a clip. Various governors. I'm going to start making phone calls. I'm going to try to get Chad Bianco. I'm going to try to get Steve Hilton. I got a couple connections. Odds are it's a long shot, but I'll try to get them on. We're a small show yet. We're approaching 10,000 subscribers. We're close to 10,000, so please subscribe to help us out. But once we hit a threshold, we'll start getting them on. So I'm not worried about that. But for right now, let us talk the Cali Blitz. And that's when I do quick hitting stories from around the state. You know, there's a lot with once week show. It's like I like to cram a lot in. So right now we're going to talk about the Cali Blitz. Al Gore's climate claims challenged as exaggerated. This comes from the California Globe. The California Globe article. It argues Al Gore's April 2025 climate change claims. He did this in San Francisco. That's why it's a story here. They're exaggerated. He's using outdated or misleading examples that don't hold up to scrutiny. Gore's dramatic predictions like cities flooding, scorching heat waves, they were easily refuted by current data that shows steady, manageable trends rather than apocalyptic shifts. And he's recycling old tactics from his 2006 film. Remember polar bears? He claimed polar bears are dying off due to melting ice, but studies show their populations are stable or growing in many Arctic regions. Storms, he warns of supercharged hurricanes, yet recent records indicate no clear increase in storm frequency or intensity, with normal weather cycles explaining variations. He's a liar. That's right. And he tried to steal the election. I know somebody who personally worked down there during the Hanging Chad era when they were recounting. He said the Democrats, there were ballots that didn't have a president selected, but may have had, say, a Democrat Secretary of State or Democrat Senator. So they said, well, he meant to vote for Gore. And they were counted as a vote. Corrupt. Democrats are corrupt. Anyway, California, story number two. Rather, my point, though, is on Gore is he's doing the same old tropes. He just did it in San Francisco. He's still collecting money off of it, big money. County Blitz number two, California's reparation clears key hurdle. Y'all heard L.A. so much in debt, Oakland so much in debt. But over in the state legislature, this one comes from the Globe again. The California Globe reports that a reparations bill passed Assembly Judiciary Committee, advancing California's efforts to address historical racial injustices. Now get this. California became a state in 1850. It was a free state. Never legalized slavery. So what do we have to give reparations to? Legalized slavery was abolished in 1865, raising questions about the state's responsibility for slave-related reparations. The Senate Bill 1403 proposes $1.2 trillion fund for direct payments of up to $125,000 and land grants, which means you have to take land from people. They want to give it to the black descendants of enslaved people, people who have not suffered slavery. There's 12 key harms, a very biased, bigoted, Democrat-led task force came up with for slavery and segregation. That's not going to go nowhere. The moment they do that, the lawsuits will come out. We are a $68 billion deficit, and they want to give out free money for people who did nothing to deserve it in a state where that didn't have slavery. We got Medi-Cal serving 14 million and education. We don't have the money. I just cannot believe that even got out of committee. Disgusting. That's what you call racism and bigotry. To sit there and put a greater burden on Californians who have nothing to do with it, a state that had nothing to do with it. Cali Blitz number three, California's Utility Commission faces a public revolt. You think? This comes from Cal Matters. The Cal Matters commentary highlights a growing public movement. It's like doing a revolution without weapons is what that movement is. But they want to reform California's Public Utilities Commission because why? The soaring energy costs. And it's not perceived as clear favoritism towards utility companies by the politicians. You Democrat politicians that you Democrat constituents keep voting for. Record profits. Utility companies like PG&E pocketed record profits with nearly $2.5 billion in 2024 alone, while CPUC approved multiple rate hikes. These are people who listen and do as they're told by the politicians to appoint them. The California Public Utilities Commission approved multiple rate hikes. We pay some of the highest electricity bills in the country. Then they ignore the wildfire audits. Again, the California Public Utilities Commission. The audit showed utilities couldn't account for billions meant for wildfire prevention. Hundreds of millions were misspent or untracked. But the California Public Utility Commission ignored those findings and kept handing out more money to companies like PG&E without demanding explanations. I'll be honest, people. I'm going to try to find an expert to bring in to talk about that specifically. Then you have your rate hikes, electricity rate surge, 68% higher from 2015 to 2024. California Public Utility Company or Commission approved $2.3 billion in PG&E profit margins. The California Public Utility Commission's 2024 decision to impose a $24 monthly fixed charge, even on low-usage households, sparked outrage that went nowhere. Because they don't care. We're going to complain. Why? Because they know they're going to get reelected. So you Democrats start supporting Republicans, this is going to continue. Because I'll be honest, we don't have slavery, but those Democrats own the Latino and black vote here in California. Far and away clear margins in terms of the ownership of those votes.
Sad but true.
You want a revolution? Start voting Republican. Kelly Bliss number four, the Trump administration probes UC Berkeley's foreign funding. So this comes from the UK Guardian. The Guardian reports that UC Berkeley faces a federal investigation, as it should, over unreported foreign funding. And that shows, that creates a concern about transparency in these partnerships. The Department of Education is investigating UC Berkeley's failure to report $220 million from the Chinese government for a joint research program launched in 2014. Berkeley began unwinding the partnership in 2023, but we don't know what damage has been done. They claim our research was openly shared. We don't know that. The lack of disclosure raises national security concerns, especially given the Institute's focus on strategic tech industries. China doesn't care that they steal our IPOs anymore. They know it. They say they're going to do it, and we don't do anything about it. Unreported foreign partnerships like Berkeley's with China, that can endanger U.S. security because it allows our adversary, they're our enemy people, to access sensitive technologies such as AI or biotech. And that will fuel their military advancements. They steal, steal, steal. They've been doing it from day one. Military advancements will be fueled to push faster economic espionage, stealing another company's IPO. You know, they say American code is in literally every Japanese program. Then they sue us over here. Hey, y'all are stealing our program. We built it first or this or that. Or have it here. And they're suing the company they stole the code from. So, yes, this should be. We have forgotten security. We've become so fat and lazy, we've forgotten security. It's disgusting. Cali Blitz number five, the Turlock shelter closure. It threatens the homeless crisis. So I found this fascinating because the Turlock Journal reports that a nonprofit called We Care Homeless Shelter, it faces closure after the Turlock City Council failed to approve funding for it. And the reason I found it interesting was it was a 3-2 vote not to provide them with the funding. And the way it was done is they rejected a $1 contribution and a letter of support. That's all that was needed to secure $267,000 state grant. That is half of WeCare's budget. Why? Well, the businesses, they don't house these people 24/7. So they're out on the streets for 10 hours a day, harassing, robbing, mugging, threatening, intimidating the local shoppers. The local business said, no, we don't want this. So this became a constituent versus business, which are constituents there. You got to have these jobs open to be able to employ people who live there. Again, here's a dilemma. They weren't solving the problem. If this, the only thing this nonprofit was doing was giving these guys a place to sleep. Excuse me. So downtown business owners cited vagrancy and crime during the 10-hour daily closure. And they swayed the council to prioritize their concerns as, in my opinion, rightfully so. There's your tax base. There's your customer base. The business is paying taxes. The customers are eating. It's a symbiotic relationship. That goes away if the homeless are there. So it's not that I agree or disagree. It's like they have to do what they need to do to save the economy of that town, city. Now, the community came out to support him. 2025 petition, 1,500 signatures. Yeah, it's easy to support it when you live in a suburb 20 miles away or 5 miles, 10 miles away. They said they're going to address the restroom issues. I don't think so. They always say things like that. But that if that's what they were budgeted for, where was the extra money going to come from? So WeCare serves 120 people monthly with beds and job training. Requires $400,000 annually, and it was denied. The community fallout closure could spike encampments. Nah. 2024 police data showed 200% more cost for homeless-related issues. Why won't it? Because the city's going to pick them up and ship them out. Why? Because the SCOTUS ruling impact. The June 2024 Supreme Court ruling, Grants Pass versus Johnson. It allows cities like Turlock to enforce bans on homeless encampments in public spaces, even without sufficient shelter. And it enables removals from areas like downtown sidewalks to address these concerns. So what happened, they'll just keep removing it until the homeless get tired and move on. All right. Final note of the night. Cali Blitz number 6, early release of immigrant, of illegal alien, convict, fuel sentencing debate. This is a doozer. A doozy. So this one comes from Fox News. Deals with Orange County, though. So Fox News report highlights a public fury over the planned release of an illegal immigrant convicted of killing two California teens in a 2021 high-speed DUI crash. So this is what happened. Two people were murdered by this guy in a car, DUI car crash. He got 3 years. Illegal. You think there's flaws in the state justice system? Maybe. I think it's more of he's illegal. We got to get him off. We are a sanctuary state. We can't have illegal seeking. We're not a sanctuary state. But here's the kicker. Oscar Eduardo Ortega Anguiano, twice deported Mexican with felonies for burglary. Felonies for burglary. Vehicle, 2005. Vehicle theft, 2007. Battery with kidnapping, 2014. Multiple unlicensed driving convictions. Was drunk, high, and speeding at 100 miles per hour when he crashed and killed 19-year-olds Anya Varfolomiv and Nikolai Osokin at Seal Beach. He faced no serious consequences for this horrific murder. Early release. So despite a 10-year sentence for two counts of gross vehicular manslaughter, Ortega Anguiano is set for release in July after just 3.5 years. Because they call it California's good behavior credits. You just saw the resume I read of crime. Recidivism rate for somebody like him, it's like 80%. For somebody like him, it's probably 95%. Now, ICE has a detainer for deportation. Will they help with it? Probably not. I guarantee you the people will, though. See, ICE has got to start working in the community, too. Bypass the local police. Bypass the local DA. Work with the community and protect them. And charge the police. And the DAs, if they start threatening and intimidating these constituents, they can do that. It's called obstruction. We just saw Judge Dugan do it. Check out my Fired Up Law and Order episode. Fired Up episode 77. Back to this, though. So the obviously, as I said, the state's sanctuary laws will hinder the compliance. And they worry he's going to re-enter the illegally. I think they sent something like him that sent his ass off to El Salvador. Period. End of story. I think this one will resolve well because it's become public. It's become public. There you have it, my friends. There you have it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed doing the research. Looking these stories up. Reviewing them. Getting all the data for you guys. I just need you to like and share this podcast. I need you to spread this message, spread this word. With your help, we're going to continue growing. We started about a couple of years ago. We're up to 10,000, close to 10,000. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. But this is a weekly show. Next week, I'm going to have my guest, G. Mangani. I don't know if G will be on next week. I'm going to try to bring David Dillion on. I spoke to him in a couple of years. Very in the loop, very in the know guy. He wants to come on the podcast. We're going to try to make that happen. But you're going to start seeing recurring guests. G. Mangani was supposed to be a guest today, but ran into some issues as he's finishing building now his studio. So hopefully next week or the week after. But look for guests to come on, guest hosts as well. Do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast at Rumble, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, my friends, until next week, I am William Del Pilar for Fired Up California, and keep your heads on a swivel.